Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Josh Gottbaum, Executive Associate Director and Controller of the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. Does OMB's job change now that we have a balanced budget?
In some senses, yes, but to a surprising degree, no. We had always thought that when the budget was out of balance, OMB's job would be more important and more difficult, making the hard decisions, trade-offs, and choices, and helping the president make those choices in order to get to balance. But it turns out that just because the budget is in balance doesn't mean there still aren't hard choices to make. And the amount of time it took from when people said, oh, it's not really in balance, to, oh, we've got a surplus, let's describe how to spend it, was a nanosecond. And so now we still have the same questions. How much should we reserve for Social Security and Medicare when we all retire? How much should we reserve for tax cuts? How much should we reserve for spending on national defense, for saving the environment, et cetera? And so to a surprising degree, the choices that we still have to make are very similar choices.
Congress required the government start producing audited consolidated financial statements in 1994, and I think progress has been made in that 13 of the top 24 federal agencies received clean opinions on their statements this year. Can you tell us about the current state of federal financial management and the improvements and the challenges that need to be made?
Actually, 15. Have now received clean opinions. This is a case. Somebody once said to me, how do you describe this? And I said, this is a little as if, imagine you were a speechwriter for Moses just after he's brought the Israelites across the Red Sea, parting the waters, okay, and they're on the edge of the desert. What do you say to them? There's good news and bad news. The good news is you have performed a number of miracles. You've parted the waters, et cetera. The bad news is you're about to spend 40 years in the desert. And by the way, some of you are not going to make it. And that's how I think about federal financial management. In the last 10 years, we started from a circumstance in which people could not keep track of finances. They knew what their budget appropriation was, and they knew they couldn't spend more than it. But there were no gap financials. As a matter of fact, there were no accounting standards for the federal government. So in the last 10 years, we have created a standard-setting body, FASAB, and a set of accounting standards that have been recognized as generally accepted accounting principles. We have created and appointed CFOs and accounting staffs. We've started turning out annual financial reports. Last year, 19 of the 24 CFO Act agencies got the reports in on time. 15 of them were clean. Originally, the first year we did this, which was 4 years ago, 13 of them had disclaimers. In other words, they were so bad that you could get no audit opinion on them at all. Last year, the number was down to 5. So we're making very, very real progress in terms of getting a set of standards, getting a set of reports, beginning to turn them out in a way that they can be audited. But there is so much more to go because, unlike business, in the federal government, the bottom line is not net profit. In order to know how an institution is working in government, you need to compare financial data to operating data. You need to know how many kids you have helped with Head Start money. You need to know how many toxic waste dumps you've cleaned up with federal dollars. And so as a result, the task that's before us is to marry performance information with financial information and turn that out in a way that is reliable, automated, repeatable, so that managers can track their businesses and that people who provide oversight, the Office of Management and Budget, the Congress, the people, can see how government agencies are doing. And that's the task that's ahead of us.
Well, how is OMB involved in the implementation of the Government Performance and Results Act?
All over. The Government Performance and Results Act was a really critical piece of legislation. It was one that was supported by the administration and by both parties in both houses of Congress. And it was a really pretty simple in its basic concept. It said, agencies, you need to set up a set of performance measures. You need to set up a set of strategic plans that you want to follow, and then you need to set up a set of measures that you can track them on, and you need to report on those. What OMB has done is to say, first, that you must comply with the law and turn out those reports. But far more importantly, take that information and bring it into your budgeting process, bring it into your management process, because knowing performance information without financial information is almost as useless as knowing financial information without performance information. And so what we've done at OMB is we've said to agencies, 3 years ago in your budget submissions, please include performance information. Last year, we got a little more detailed and said, give us a sense of alternatives for some agencies. This year, we said, you're turning out an annual performance plan. That ought to be part of your budget submission. You shouldn't turn out a separate performance plan and a separate budget proposal. They should be one. And so what we are doing by this process, and this is something that OMB does through its budget and management authorities together, is to ensure that agencies are constantly assessing what are the best measures and then tracking how they perform against them. And what we hope to do over the long run is to develop enough understanding and enough practice, if you will, so that we can compare the performance of agencies that are doing similar kinds of things and so that they can benchmark against their own performance and against the performance of others.
What's your impression of the impact of the Chief Financial Officers Act after 10 years?
It's enormous progress and even more progress yet to be achieved. What we can say, thank God, is that we have CFOs, we have financial standards, we have financial auditing, and we have reporting. What we can't yet say is that we have systems in place to use that information reliably as part of program management. In other words, Kmart, Walmart, Ford Motor, any business you name, okay, they run their business by a continual stream of information, a combination of financial and performing information, so that you know what are sales in a particular division and what they are by a week, by a month, etc. In the federal government, we don't have that level of information and that level of control. So we do after-the-fact estimates for what we've spent. We do after-the-fact estimates for how many people we've helped. And the real task is to do that on an automated, reliable basis. And that's really what we have yet to achieve.
The Chief Financial Officers Council has been working on a statement on the 21st century CFO. What changes is the council proposing? What would their impact be?
This is a really encouraging development. I should talk for 1 second about the Chief Financial Officers Council, because one of the things we've discovered over the last 5 or 10 years in the federal government is that for the first time in many instances, people are willing to look beyond their own turf and their own stovepipes to recognize that they have common problems. One of the most depressing things about working in the government is the extent to which people think that their problems are unique. I have to keep track of my program, and my problem looks completely different from the next grant manager's program. The Chief Financial Officers Council and its counterparts for chief operating officers, the President's Management Council, for inspectors general, for chief information officers, et cetera, represents a recognition by agencies that they have common problems. And so what we've done is, in instances where there are common problems, for example, computer security, where agency after agency after agency recognizes they have a problem, rather than each of them trying to solve it on their own, they pull together, they actually work together, and they say, what standards should we follow? What rules should we follow? And on the chief financial officers, for example, we energized an organization that tested commercial financial software that was being offered to the federal government. We said, we're going to set up a single organization, we're going to set up a set of standards for that software, and we're going to have an organization that tests to see whether they meet it. And that way, the Department of Housing and Urban Development doesn't need to go through its own trials, it can rely on it. So this is a really important development. What the CFOs have done over the past year, since this is the 10th anniversary of the CFO Act, is they've said, where can we go further to adopt the private sector CFO model to do our jobs better? And what they concluded is that they still had a ways yet to go on a couple of dimensions. For example, for historical reasons, the federal government still keeps a lot of financial information separately from its budget information. Obviously, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Most chief financial officers actually are responsible for both, but they operate them out of different shops. And so one of the things that the CFOs did is they said, you need to integrate information. You need to take budget information, performance information, capital planning, reengineering, to follow the private sector model in which the CFO was a place that could provide advice and judgment about program management generally. So that's one thing they said. Another thing that they said is there are real issues here of compensation and pay. The federal government is in some respects lagging, and we need to look at that. We think that if you're going to keep on attracting the talent that you need, you're going to need to recognize that you have to pay for it. And then they've made some other suggestions. These are right now suggestions we're discussing within the administration, and which will then in some way be put out and given as a gift to the next Congress and the next administration.
We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.